Oh, no, that's Wynn. Wynnwood.
Wynnwood. You want me to spell it?
Yes.
W-Y-N-W-O-O-D.
Wynnwood. Wynnwood. Health facility?
Nope.
No idea.
Wynnwood is the area in Miami. So Miami was the first city where Zika virus was transmitted locally by mosquitoes. Now, on Monday, situation, I guess you could say, got a little bit better. Florida Governor Rick Scott said the Wynnwood neighborhood hasn't had a case of a local Zika in 45 days. So the CDC has scaled back its travel warning.
I don't think anybody's going there.
Yeah, I think it's a little preemptive.
See, everything...
To 45 days. It's not like we're talking about a couple months here.
I forgot that.
They're like, yeah.
Forgot that was the exact neighborhood mm-hmm. where that was going on. Oh God, man, I made these easy for you this week. I just really...
Don't
wow.
say that, because when I get them wrong, that's embarrassing.
If you get this wrong, we're just going to end the segment, and we're going to move on to something else. Emmy ratings.
Emmy ratings were the lowest that they've been. I don't even know how many years. I didn't even know they were on, actually. So that's how low they were. Were they lowest all time?
Yes.
All time.
Yeah, they were the lowest ever. 11.3 million viewers tuned in.
Well, you know what everybody was watching? Other than I was flipping through three things. JonBenet Ramsey, which for the majority of what I was watching, and then on the commercials, flipped to the Emmys, and then I was flipping to watch my Packers playing, get pummeled.
That was 11.3 was down from 11.9 million last year, so mm-hmm. nobody cares. You know what? Game of Thrones wins everything. Yeah. Why do I need to watch this?
Pretty cool thing. A mutual friend in the comedy, originally from the Boston comedy world, Josh Gondelman. He is a writer for The Late Show with John Oliver, and they won.
Yeah.
So pretty awesome. Good. Yeah. Really happy for him.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, good for Josh. I don't think, did Fallon win?
No.
So nothing for nothing for my friend John again. I don't know why that keeps happening that way.
Yeah, we got all these writer friends.
But amazing, amazing Packers-Vikings game the other night. Go Vikes. That's all I got to say. Go Vikes, go Vikes, go Vikes. They look good. Very sad about Adrian Peterson.
Colonial Pipeline.
The Colonial Pipeline is dead, is it not?
No.
This is the one that was running through Massachusetts, right?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, that would be the other one. That would be the one that sprung a leak.
Yes.
In Alabama.
That is correct.
And is now driving up gas prices all over the East Coast, though surprisingly not in New England.
Mm. So we're talking about, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi. Everybody's going up. Georgia had the biggest hike. So that was 6 cents, 4 cents for most of the other regions in the South. But, you know, this is a line that can carry up to 1.2 million barrels of gas every day. It's an estimated 6,000 to 8,000 barrels were dumped. Oops.
Yeah. Big not oops. Not a good look for the pipelines, especially when you're trying to get Keystone through. Mm. The Tewksbury goat.
These are easy? The Tewksbury goat?
Yeah, this is easy.
Tewksbury goat.
Yeah.
Is that the mascot?
No.
I have no idea.
How did you miss this?
Where would I read about them?
Everywhere. Boston.com, the Boston Globe. Like the
Tewksbury goat.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Twitter?
I don't use Twitter.
Facebook?
I don't use Facebook for my news sources. Please enlighten me about the Tewksbury goat.
After 3 weeks on the loose and a parody Twitter account, the Tewksbury goat was captured.
Oh, good.
When was the Tewksbury goat captured? It was captured Saturday. The Animal Control Rescue League, or the Animal Rescue League of Boston, had devised a trap that finally succeeded in snaring the goat. But the amusing part of this isn't so much the goat. I mean, there shouldn't be a goat running around Tewksbury anyway. I'm sure you will recall there was a goat running around Lowell mm-hmm. earlier this summer. It was the Lowell goat. This is the Tewksbury goat. Somebody set up
Was this somebody's pet?
It was a goat from a farm. It just got loose and it's been running around Tewksbury. The Tewksbury police have been chasing the thing around for the last 3 weeks.
And somebody had created a Twitter account for it.
Somebody created a Twitter account for the goat and tweeted rather a lot. The final tweet just said, "I will return." But there were a lot of the Twitter account actually wound up with a lot of followers. And one of the cooler things, because we've had the Somerville Sasquatch.
Yes.
Which was a guy in the Yeti costume walking around.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the fake Topsfield Fair thing on Facebook. Every now and again, one of these pops up, and it's hilarious. But whoever was doing this one did a really nice thing, because whenever stray animals were being dropped off at the animal shelters, they were posting that as part of the feed. So it was basically the Tewksbury goat saying, "Hey, can you help my friend find its human?"
That's awesome.
And that I thought was a really sweet, really nice touch to this whole thing. Hmm. So the Tewksbury goat is back is back under farm arrest, I think.
Yeah, I remember that, the Somerville Sasquatch. That was great.
Yeah.
That was during all the snowstorms because he was seen for the majority like shoveling out people's parking spots.
Yeah.
All right. Kmart.
Kmart has announced that it will close, 60?
Close. I'll give that to you. 64.
64. Yeah, I knew it was more than 60 stores nationwide. Macy's is going to be closing more than 100.
Mm-hmm.
In further signs of how online retail is eroding traditional brick and mortar retail.
Yeah, you know, this is just the latest round of cuts from the retailer's parent company. Sears Holdings said in April that it was going to close 68 Kmart stores this summer, which they had already closed. And then we just hear this, that by the end of the year, they're going to be closing. Now, starting September 22nd, liquidation. I just figured whenever, I don't even remember the last time I went into a Kmart store. I'm not sure if I even thought it was open. It's none of the lights work. It's just sad. People are crying in there. It's just a bad scene.
That pretty much describes Kmart, yeah.
And, yeah, so I figured it was like an all-year-round liquidation sale, but apparently not.
Kmart signed 100-year leases on almost all of the spots that they occupy, which is and they signed 100-year leases at rates that were market rates when they signed the lease.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now at a point where the real estate and that lease is more valuable than the actual business.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's also how Kmart has managed to be as durable as it has in empty stores and locations that you look at and you're like, how is that still there?
Mm-hmm.
It's the 100-year lease. That was their one smart contribution to retail.
And nobody says, you know, we've got to go shopping. Let's go to Kmart. There's really no draw.
You're going to Kmart because you've been banned from Walmart.
Right.
That's the only reason you're shopping there.
Yeah, you're just blacklisted from every other store.
Kmart is your last option. It is there or no more retail for you ever.
Yeah.
It's, oh,
God. What's the closest? We have one in Saugus.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, pretty much is. Because the one at Peabody is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think.
One was where the old market or where Market Basket in Danvers used to be.
Assembly Row.
Oh, that's right.
There's still one over there. So there's one at Assembly Row.
They're probably gonna get that one out.
There's one at Saugus. I don't know which ones are on the chopping block. I don't think they've said yet. George H.W. Bush.
George Bush said that he will be voting come November 8th for Hillary Clinton.
Yes, he did. He said that to the daughter of former presidential candidate and former Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy. Meanwhile, over in Kenya, they have a mock election every year. And President Obama's half-brother, Malik, told USA Today that he's supporting Donald Trump, calling him, quote, "a humble and honest guy," end quote. So by Kenyan standards, Donald Trump is a humble guy.
Is that what he's translating to in Africa?
Apparently it is. They're loving some Trump over in Kenya.
Are you surprised by this? I don't think I am. I mean, you can't say what, because Bush was a Republican, or is a Republican, then he would vote for Trump.
It's not even that. I'm not surprised by it, and the reason I'm not surprised by it is because this has nothing to do with party politics.
No, of course not.
Despite what the media wants you to believe.
The Bushes are in bed with the Clintons. It
has nothing to do with the Bushes being in bed with the Clintons either.
Then what is it?
That's another. Although George Sr. and Bill get along pretty well and have done things together.
I'm sure there's business prospects.
This isn't even about that. This is classic American snobbery. George H.W. Bush, son of, or grandson of a man who attempted to overthrow the United States government, Prescott Bush, is old money. Donald Trump is new money. Old money does not like new money. Hillary and Bill Clinton, no money. So it is easier for the old money to sit there and say, we'll get on board with Hillary, than it is for them to support Donald Trump. Because if they support Donald Trump, they are legitimizing the new money. And if there's one thing that you never, ever, ever, ever do if you're old money, it is legitimize the new money. Nothing to do with policy, nothing to do with party, nothing to do with how they feel about him. Trumps are nouveau riche. And families like the Bushes don't associate with nouveau riche.
That old Texas money.
That's exactly what it is.
Yankees up there.
It's the old Yale network. It's all of that. It is all of that. It is that austere level of American nobility, basically saying, you are not one of us.
John Stumpf.
John Stumpf is the CEO of Wells Fargo, who was told he should resign by Senator Elizabeth Warren yesterday. He also claimed that there was no conspiracy at Wells Fargo, even though they fired 5,300 employees for creating phony bank accounts without their customers' knowledge.
Essentially what happened, and I watched a lot of this clip, and I think it's great. And again, I don't always have the nicest things to say about Elizabeth Warren, but at least take a few minutes to watch her just grinding into this man, and with the perplexed look on his face, it's hilarious to see somebody that is so corrupt, because again, this is what it's all about. It's all about the money. It's all about the greed. And to quote the CEO, it is great. And by meaning that, on average, people have, you know, 3-4 accounts with a bank. He believed that every single person should have 8 accounts, which is practically impossible. So what happened is all the workers, and they told the people in each of the branches, oh, just open accounts under your clients. Just don't tell them.
Yeah.
What they don't know doesn't hurt them.
CNN revealed today that people, at least a couple of employees who called the ethics hotline that Wells Fargo had set up or who reported what was going on to HR, were fired. Usually for something like being late to work. Usually shortly after filing the complaint. So
strange.
A day of hard reckoning is heading for the Wells Fargo people. And Wells Fargo may be looking for a buyer in the not-too-distant future. It's a big black mark for Warren Buffett, too, because Wells Fargo is a big piece of Berkshire Hathaway. Not good, kids. Not good. Macy's Herald Square.
Macy's Herald Square.
Yep.
Does it have something to do with one of the parades?
No. Although the parade does go by Macy's Herald Square.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I don't know this one.
If you bothered to read Big Picture WMFO, that's our Facebook page, by the way, kids. Facebook.com, Big Picture WMFO. You would know that Macy's Herald Square is one of the locations that has already opened up its Christmas department.
Yeah.
So basically,
you had posted about how. And we had talked about
enabling
it.
Christmas creep. Oh.
Well, we were getting Halloween candy in August. Or yeah. Was that the late July? Pumpkin spice was back in August and way too soon.
Yeah.
Christmas decorations, huh?
So Macy's has got their whole holiday lane, like the store is all decked out for Christmas already. Other stores are following suit. If you are the mall Macy's or if you are the mall Sears or the mall whatever, and you got your Christmas stuff up, I got no sympathy for you at all. Please stop. We haven't even had Halloween yet. It's bad enough that the Halloween candy was in the supermarket in July. This is out of control. I'm going to give Macy's Herald Square a pass. And the reason I'm going to give them a pass is because Taurus. This is a very, very big tourism season in the Northeast. Taurus go to Macy's. Taurus go to Macy's. They see the Christmas department is open. They don't care that it's October. Let's get Christmas ornaments to remember our trip to New York. And it makes perfect sense. But if you're not in New York City, I don't want to see your Christmas stuff.
It's 80 degrees. I can't go along with it.
Yeah.
All right. Eggo.
The waffle people?
Yes.
I believe 11 like those. You don't even get that reference, do you?
Nope.
No, I didn't think so. Eggo has released a new flavor, which is... Oh, good God, what is it?
Nope.
No?
Nope. Mm-mm. Came out today.
Oh, if it came out today...
No, this was yesterday, I'm sorry.
No, there was nothing about Eggo yesterday.
Yes, there was.
Okay.
About 10,000 cases of Eggo Nutri-Grain whole wheat waffles are being voluntarily recalled in 25 states because they could be contaminated with bacteria Listeria.
Fun.
Kellogg's announced that. Oh, I'm sorry. This was on Monday on its website. So, you know, the Michigan company said they've received no reports of illnesses and have learned about the potential problems after routine tests. Again, another thing that has happened back in 2009, the FCA found Listeria at an Atlanta plant with the buttermilk waffles. So, folks, clean up your factories, please. Yeah.
Don't feed those to 11.
If for some reason you find that you do have one of these Nutri-Grain whole wheat waffles in your fridge, you can go to their website. Or you can call them 1-800-962-1413 from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and you will get a full refund, but please throw it out. Don't eat the waffles.
I got a better solution for this. Do we know where the CEO of the Eggo people lives?
Should we just throw them all on his...
That's what I'm thinking. If you know where... Somebody should publish this. Like, this is where the Eggo CEO lives. Instead of throwing them away, drive by his house and throw them in his yard. And when he wakes up and finds 40,000 Eggos...
Just drive by yelling, Lego my Eggo.
Yeah, and when he wakes up and finds 40,000 Eggos in the front yard, maybe he'll think twice about cleaning up the factories.
Hmm.
It's not going to hurt anybody. It's going to cost him a lot of money to clean up those Eggos. But you know what? I think that's a fair solution here.
I like it.
I'm not advocating violence, maybe criminal mischief, but no. Go chuck some Eggos at that guy's house.
You're essentially feeding him.
Yeah. Well, you're feeding him his own like Listeria poisoned food. Don't feed that to 11. It may kill her. Someday you're going to get that, Lisa, and you're going to be like, oh, that's what he was talking about.
Mm.
Okay. Panera Bread.
Mm.
You hit me with a food one. I'm hitting you with a food one.
Panera Bread.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I know they're doing everything with the GMOs and no food dyes, but that was kind of old news. Are they're back on the forefront with that again?
They are, as of today, yes.
Doing all that?
There are actually two stories in the news about Panera Bread this week.
So my final answer would be they've officially eliminated all...
No.
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 Okay, please, enlighten me.
Panera Bread has announced that initiative that you're talking about is going to be extended to bacon. They have been working with their suppliers to find bacon with no artificial preservatives, flavors, sweeteners, or colors. So that was today's news about Panera. Yesterday, Panera received top marks in the annual chain survey of fast food restaurants regarding the presence of antibiotics in their food. Panera and Chipotle were the only two that got A grades.
Oh, Chipotle?
Yes.
All that cleanup work?
I would make the argument that Chipotle might want to keep the antibiotics in their food. Keep it at the source, because that may prevent some of these things from spreading around.
What's really interesting, though, about Chipotle, one of the victims of the last scare with, what was that? E. coli.
Yeah.
She actually sued. She got a settlement. And the only other request that she wanted was a lifetime supply of Chipotle burritos. They had given her a counter offer. So she got 6 dozen Chipotle gift cards for the person that was infected with E. coli from Chipotle.
That's not a lifetime. Well, that may be the lifetime of Chipotle Corporation. So they may be onto something.
But there. Then again, you get 6 dozen more chances to get infected
That's true.
And sue for some more money.
That's true.
That works.
It's sort of like asking the genie for more wishes.
Yeah, exactly. You want to do one more?
Is that? We got time for one more if you want to.
All right, let's do it. Dreadlocks.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No, too vague.
No.
Too vague.
Dreadlocks, court decision.
Now I have no idea, but dreadlocks on its own is that'd be like me sitting here and saying marshmallow. You know,
if there was a big story about marshmallows, then I'd
give you a better clue than marshmallow.
All right. Well, a federal appeals court said that it's completely okay for employees to deny employment for those wearing dreadlocks. So basically making employee discrimination against dreadlocks legal. The decision came in response to a lawsuit that was brought by Chastity Jones, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, against Catastrophe Management Solutions in Alabama. So apparently she got hired, they found out she had dreadlocks, and they recanted her offer. And then she sued.
They got heavy machinery and factory equipment around?
I don't know. They said that tends to get messy. So the big controversy was that it was connected with, it's the same thing like somebody of...
It's a workplace safety issue, which is why I asked that question. You know, it's like, if you've got a lot of factory equipment around that people's hair can get caught in and their heads get crushed or ripped off.
No, this was an insurance company.
Oh, okay. That's not... Mm-hmm. No, you can't... You should be able to... You can't fire somebody for that.
No, but everybody that was involved with it and the conversation that was happening with the EEOC is saying that people with this type of hair is generally connected culturally with African descent. So they thought it was racism.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, that's a fair conclusion. So did the EEOC say you have to hire the dreadlock woman?
No, that's why it went all the way to federal court.
Right. And the federal court said
you can absolutely do that.
So you cannot hire the dreadlock woman because she has dreadlocks.
That was a court decision. That's a little...
Again, if we're talking about a workplace safety issue where you got heavy equipment and you got factory equipment,
understandable.
The dreadlocks get caught and somebody's head comes off, I don't have a problem with that. Why would an insurance agency not want to hire somebody with dreadlocks? And how is that legal in this country?
I don't know.
That's a stupid decision.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with it. If you want to have a workplace dress code, you know, if you want to say everybody's got to show up in suits and ties every single day, you can do that. You generally don't have the right as a private employer to tell people what kind of hair they should have.
A lot of employers do. When I first started where I am, it was very strict that no tattoos could be shown.
Right.
You could not have any facial piercings, dramatically colored hair. And over the years, they've loosened up understanding that many people have that.
Well,
it's culturally acceptable.
They've loosened up because there was a labor shortage in your industry. And because there's a labor shortage in your industry, they have to bend the rules. And bend their own rules to get enough people to actually work there.
And get good people.
Yeah. All right, one more for you. Burke Ramsey, which I already know you're going to get.
Burke Ramsey is the brother of the deceased JonBenet Ramsey, and there was a two-part series on Sunday and Monday night. And, oh, I know there's somebody listening, and so spoiler alert, please don't.
Turn off your radio right now if you don't want to know the rest of this story. Turn off your radio right now. This is a spoiler alert from WMFO Medford. This is a spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, at the conclusion on Monday night, the investigators decided that reopened the case, that the brother, in fact, they believe is the one to have committed the crime against JonBenet Ramsey.
It was Burke in the parlor with a Maglite flashlight, apparently, what they believe.
Again, any kid that mixes pineapples and milk Your level of sanity, I question. So.
Some people like that. Not going to hold it against them. Not a sign that you're a psychopath or a murderer.
A little bit.
Now, in today's developments, John and Patsy Ramsey have sued CBS.
Well, Patsy's dead.
Well, John has sued.
Yes, the family has sued.
The Ramsey estate, Ramsey family, has sued CBS for defamation, saying, no, our beloved Burke did not kill JonBenet Ramsey. The other interesting thing that came out in all of this is apparently the foreign DNA that was found on JonBenet's underwear may have been introduced during the manufacturing process, which makes me wonder what they're doing on the line at the panty factory. Might want to screen your employees a little bit better than that.
Oh,
I don't know.
Awful.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-9636. This is The Big Picture, coming up later tonight on The Town with Mikey D. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, Bill de Blasio had some things to say on Saturday night as the bombings were unfolding in Manhattan, and they weren't helpful. We're going to take a look at what he said, why he may have said it, and what it says to the people who are in harm's way right after this on WMFO Medford.
It was soft, warm, the feeling right, the Paris night did its best to please us. And strolling down the Seine, we had a drink in each cafe.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. Backpacks are a popular way for children and teens to carry school books and supplies. But if backpacks are too heavy, or if they're not worn correctly, that can be a problem. They can cause pain in the muscles and joints, especially in the back, neck, and shoulder. Here are some tips for using backpacks safely. Choose a backpack with two wide, padded shoulder straps and a waist strap. That will help distribute the weight. Always use both shoulder straps and tighten the straps so the pack is close to the body and sits 2 inches above the waist. Pack heavier items closest to the center of the back. Even when it's full, a backpack shouldn't weigh more than 15 to 20% of the weight of the person carrying it. So if your child weighs 100 pounds, they shouldn't be carrying more than 20 pounds in the backpack. Following these simple steps can help your backpack work for you, not against you. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture. He's Derek Arie, and I'm Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday night, and you can call us at 855-915-9636. So it took all of 48 hours, multiple explosions, nabbing of a suspect before New York Mayor Bill de Blasio confirmed what we already knew the minute it started happening. The weekend blasts from New Jersey and New York were acts of terrorism.
Yeah.
And again, I say it took 48 hours for something that, Derek, I'm sure you knew, that I knew the minute that it happened. I could infer what was going on.
Well, so here's a timeline. Saturday morning, there's supposed to be a charity race in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Not Elizabeth, Cherry Hill.
It was 5K for, was it fallen soldiers or law enforcement?
It was a,
something with military related.
I think it was a Marine, a charity for wounded Marines. And a pipe bomb goes off in a barrel along the race route. The start of the race had been delayed because of bad weather. So nobody was around when the pipe bomb went off. So they called off the race. Nobody gets hurt. And you think to yourself, that's interesting. That looks like somebody was really trying to hurt a lot of people. I think you got a problem down there in New Jersey.
Yeah, when have we seen a pipe or some sort of bomb in a race? Yeah.
Flash forward to Saturday night, where just a few miles away, really, on 23rd Street in the Chelsea District of Manhattan, a bomb goes off and injures 31 people. Shortly thereafter, a pressure cooker bomb with a cell phone trigger is discovered on West 27th Street, about 2 blocks away from the hotel I like to stay at when I am down there. So I know that area well. These things start to come together, and I know the first thought that goes through my mind, which is analytical, not emotional, is I wonder if this is related to what happened in New Jersey this morning, because that's an awfully close placement. That's too close to be coincidental. I could drive into New York in that amount of time. I could take a train into New York in that amount of time and leave some more bombs around. So somebody...
Look at how close the time was and location proximity.
So if you have a pipe bomb that just goes off in the middle of Manhattan, or a pressure cooker bomb that goes off in the middle of Manhattan, you'd say to yourself, well, that's probably terrorism. If a pipe bomb or a pressure cooker bomb goes off in the middle of Manhattan, and another bomb had gone off in New Jersey earlier the same day, it is reasonable to say that is terrorism. Okay? Somebody is up to no good here. Apparently, we're wrong. Anybody who thinks this is wrong, anybody who would say this is wrong, because this is how New York Mayor Bill de Blasio described the situation on Saturday night as this story was still unfolding. We may have some gravelly audio here because we got a bad connection between the board and the computer, but should be good enough for you to hear this. Here is New York Mayor Bill de Blasio while the New York City Bomb Squad is investigating a second device.
We also want to be upfront saying that there is no evidence at this point of a terror connection to this incident. This is preliminary information. It's something we will be investigating very carefully, but there is no evidence at this point of a terror connection.
So there's the first thing that he says. There is no evidence of a terror connection, everybody.
And all of Saturday night, I am getting alerts on my phone about the bombings going off. The minute I heard pressure cooker, I go, terrorism. The next message that pops up, quote from de Blasio, says, not international terrorism. I say audibly, out loud, you're stupid. Nope, this terrorism. Again, another one goes off. Still not terrorism.
Everybody I know in New York City is on Facebook saying, I'm safe. Here's more from the mayor. This, keep in mind, as well, this is going on Saturday night.
I also want to affirm that based on what we know at this hour, there is no specific connection to the incident in New Jersey.
Well, he's wrong about that, too. Now, if you want to go by the incident, you know, and notice he's parsing his words very carefully. Based on the information that we have at this hour, there is no known connection to the event in New Jersey, except anybody with a map is sitting there looking at this saying,
there's really, really good chance.
I think there's a high probability that there is a connection to the event in New Jersey, Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Again, too early to say anything definitive on those questions, but there's no specific evidence of a connection at this point. I want to say more broadly, there is no specific and credible threat against New York City at this.
Well, that's the one thing that he gets right. There is no specific and credible threat because, Lisa Nichols, it is not terrorism. Nope. It is not terrorism unless someone picks up a phone and says, hi, we're committing terrorism today.
Is that what you had to do now?
I believe
in 2016, after all of the terrorist attacks that we've had across our country, across the world, you have to call up the FBI and say, hey, guys,
I believe
remember
that.
Remember me? You probably investigated me a couple years ago.
I believe that is Mayor de Blasio's standard, is you have to call up and say, hi, terrorism, and then set off the bomb. And then he will come out and say, well, we don't have any concrete evidence that this is terrorism, but someone did call and phone in a threat.
You have to ask the question, though, you know, why did it take so long for him to say that, to say that it was terrorism? Because essentially, for an act to be terrorism, and in federal law, this is what it says, dangerous to human life, the pipe bombs, the pressure cookers, check, dangerous to human life, yep. Intimidate or coerce a civil population, intimidate, scary, check that off. Or influence government policy, not so much right now. I think we checked all those marks, though, that we need for it to be terrorism.
We're not done with Mayor de Blasio on Saturday night yet. Here's some more of what he had to say.
Still hasn't admitted it.
This moment. But we do want to be very clear. The early indications, the initial indications, is this was an intentional act. We're going to have a lot more to say in the coming hours as we have more detailed analysis. But
so it wasn't terrorism, Lisa Nichols, but it was.
But it was intentional.
An intentional act.
Yeah.
It was an intentional act. What kind of an intentional? What was the intent of this act? Mayor de Blasio, was it to terrorize people? Was this workplace violence? Is this just a random drive-by bombing? Because we get a lot of that in America these days, don't we? So this is what he had to say on Saturday night.
Yeah, he's living in a bubble.
It's not terrorism.
Nope.
There's no connection to New Jersey. This was an intentional act. Here is Bill de Blasio on Monday.
We have, as I said, a lot more information is coming in all the time. We have so much more information, obviously, than we even...
Notice that he's always talking about the information. It's never him. It's the information.
...had a few hours ago. Based on the information we have now, we have every reason to believe this was an act of terror.
Oh!
We will be going into some detail, and there's still a long investigation ahead. But now we have, as I said, every reason to believe this was an act of terror.
There it is. Oh, this was an act of terror.
In addition, want to note that because this is an ongoing investigation, all New Yorkers should remain vigilant. At any given point, New Yorkers may find a piece of information, hear a conversation, see something that could very much aid the NYPD, the FBI, and our partners. Want all New Yorkers to be vigilant.
Did he say any of that on Saturday night? No, he did not.
No.
So here he is in the middle of the event. One bomb has gone off. Another bomb's been found on 27th Street. And by the way, the bomber is over in Elizabeth placing more bombs, which are going to go off early Sunday morning. In the middle of the event saying, there's no credible threat. We don't believe there's any connection to New Jersey. This is not terrorism, but this was an intentional act. That's what he's saying. What he should be saying is, a terrorist attack has taken place. Please be aware of your surroundings. Please be vigilant. We don't know if this is over
yet.
Well,
that's the thing. And regardless, if you don't have the information that's coming in right now, this is when exactly what he just said on Monday. This is when you say to the people of New York, if you see anything, if you hear anything, please come forward with it.
He's saying the,
but no.
He's saying the exact opposite.
Of course.
And these are the same people who walk around. If you see something, say something.
How are you supposed to have faith in a mayor that is looking out for your well-being, but you can't even admit that there's terrorism going on, that the city is under attack at this moment?
He's not.
Can you? You apparently don't have all this information. So how can you tell me that nothing else is to be fearful of?
Because
there's no more bombs. But how do you know that?
You had one wrong statement in there, Lisa. Which is to say that Bill de Blasio is looking out for your well-being. No, he's not.
No, he's looking out for his own and to be reelected. Because he lives in PC world and his whole administration has always.
Bill de Blasio is looking out for his reelection prospects and looking out for himself and looking out for Hillary Clinton, who cannot have another terrorist attack take place on American soil, because every time it does, Donald Trump gets votes. Okay?
If we look at the situation, what happened,
but
in the winter with San Bernardino, I'll give you credit when the FBI, maybe everybody doesn't come out right away and say, this isn't terrorism. I mean, they had him, but it could have been workplace violence.
Right.
If you have pressure cookers with shrapnel that is almost mimics exactly what happened on Boylston Street for the Boston Marathon, which was an act of terrorism.
The thing about...
You can't tell me that isn't terrorist.
The thing about San Bernardino and the detail about San Bernardino, because it threw us, because that happened on a Wednesday and we were talking about it in real time, was that it was a workplace party. It was an off-site office party.
Many different possibilities of who had committed these crimes.
Somebody's disgruntled and they're going to take it out on everybody at the Christmas party. That's poor form, but that's not beyond the pale. Later on, we find out that this was a calculated terrorist attack. There was a question mark there. When a bomb explodes randomly on a New York City sidewalk, there is no question there. Even if that bomb had been meant to blow up Joey Genoa, or whoever's in charge of the mafia in New York these days, that's still a terrorist act. This is a bomb that has been planted to kill and maim innocent people. That is terrorism. And our government cannot have it both ways. You can't tell people to be vigilant. You can't tell people if you see something, say something, and then turn around and lie to them and tell them, well, we don't know if it's terrorism. We don't know if there's anything going on here while the event is still unfolding. You can't do that. So de Blasio's playing cover my ass, But the other thing that he's doing is de Blasio subscribes to that same wrong-headed elitist belief. If I tell the people it's terrorism, there'll be panic. They'll be running through the streets, looting, killing each other, stepping on kittens and puppies. Don't tell them it's terrorism. Tell them to shelter in place and everything is fine. Mm-hmm. Give me a break. Have some faith.
I hate to say, Americans are smart enough to realize what is going on. And it only makes you look more stupid.
Yeah.
For lying to the people that put you into office.
This is the reason why we don't trust our government. This is the reason why we don't trust our elected officials.
Because you're lying to us.
And they don't get it. They just don't get it. They live in their little bubble where everyone pats everyone else on the back and says, oh, you handled that one well, Blasey. Good job. Hillary says thanks. And then the American people sit there and they're like, how do we wind up with these idiots? How do we protect ourselves when this is what we have for leadership? Telling us, well, it wasn't terrorism. It was an intentional act. What the hell does that even mean? An intentional act is shooting somebody. It's not setting off a bomb on a sidewalk in Chelsea. Setting off a bomb is terrorism. Setting off a bomb has always been terrorism throughout the history of the United States.
But we've almost moved away from that rhetoric, that message.
Can't have the panic.
You can't offend people too.
Can't have the panic.
You can't jump to the conclusion because that's racist. If you think it's terrorism, then all the Muslim there's going to be attacking Muslim people and you can't do that. It's insane.
Who's
to me.
Attacking the Muslim? I mean, I know they've had.
But that is the mentality of this. You just say this elite group that thinks that everybody's going to go into this panic mode.
Don't tell the people they'll panic. Don't tell the people they'll blame us. That's what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, people in New York City are in real danger because the extent of this attack is unknown. We know that there is at least one other device. Where's the guy that planted the devices? Where is he going next?
And again, by saying absolutely no, there's no connection to New Jersey. And as you just said, this man was back going to New Jersey. This is where they finally caught him. But he was planning to blow up more bombs.
By the way, the closest thing that we have to a hero in all of this is somebody who I don't think even has a television or has access to the media. It is a gentleman named Lee Parker who lives in New Jersey. He's a homeless guy who found the bomb after he saw a duffel bag. Or he saw a backpack on a garbage can in Elizabeth and was like, I need a backpack. The guy has a job. He doesn't have a house. He's been carrying everything he owns around in a trash bag. And he's like, I need a backpack. I'll take that. And when he opened the backpack, he found the bomb. And did he run away? Did he panic? Did he say it was the end of the world? No. He called authorities. That should be the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I would vote for that man for mayor. De Blasio looks like a complete idiot. And not only does he look like a complete idiot, failed to inform the population in the midst of an attack. Unacceptable.
But this is what the message that we get time and time again, and it's not going to change.
Well, it's not going to change until the American people start going back to the voting booth and throwing these people up.
What, and putting in people that are honest and going to tell you the truth of actually what's going on, saying, please, I'm going to vote for you. Are you going to tell me when I'm in danger, when I don't know what's going on, or are you going to lie to my face?
I know in Manhattan.
Just to, you know, keep peace.
I know in Manhattan they're counting the days until de Blasio is out of there.
Yeah.
Because everybody realizes this guy is a screw up and this guy was a mistake.
Now, there were some of the best quotes taken from former New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. You know, he praised law enforcement, but this is somebody
the mayor.
That he might go up against him in the election.
Yeah.
And he offered a lot of critique against him. You know, but what he was saying was, you know, he was in office or in power when post 9/11 and saying, yes, we are in a time where we need to go around inside mosques. When you have a majority of one religion committing these, it's not, you know, being racist, it's not being bigots. This is a way that you stop it. Because God only knows if this was a devout Catholic.
I'm less interested.
That everybody in the New York Police Department would be going in every Sunday to every single Catholic church.
I'm less interested in how we stop it at this point in time than in how we react to it. And Mayor de Blasio gave a textbook example of how not to inform the people.
Well, when you do not react properly, that's when the possibility of more people die.
Yes, it is. And if someone else had been hurt in an explosion, which thank God nobody was, thank God none of the rest of these devices had gone off, do you think Bill de Blasio would step back and say, mea culpa? Mm-hmm. I should have told the people of New York? No. He'd step back and say, well, the information didn't tell us that the information was information about a terrorist attack. The information didn't tell us there were more bombs.
No, it leaves the people of New York just sitting there, scratching their head, not understanding, why are you not protecting me? Why are you not giving me information?
It wasn't, we don't know the extent of this, look out, be aware of what's happening around you. It was, it's okay, not a terrorist act. No connection to New Jersey. Oh, it was an intentional act, but it wasn't terrorism. Go home, please. I'm begging that man to resign right now before someone actually gets hurt on his watch. 855-915-9636, 855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is The Big Picture. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories of the past week. And coming up at 9 o'clock, don't forget, on the tell, Mikey D, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene.
Ranger station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Airy. And ending this week's show, What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. Now, pretty cool thing, if you have nothing going on this weekend, this Saturday, September 24th, it's Smithsonian Magazine's Museum Day Live. Because you always bring up going to different museums. So what you do, you go to SmithsonianMag.com. It gives you free admission to the museum of your choice. And the ticket is good for two people. So even if you're not here in Massachusetts, there's different museums across the country that you can go to. And so you can look them up. If you want to know what's going on in Boston, Boston Magazine also is running this article. But just to give you a little idea, Gibson House Museum, Otis House, Old South Meeting House, the Mary Baker Eddy Library, a few more. You can get into the JFK National Historical Site, Harvard Museum, the Peabody Museum of Archaeology and Ethnology, the USS Constitution Museum, which is always a big one. So, yeah, I mean, you can just go down the list, and the Gardner Museum's in there, which is phenomenal. And go visit something this weekend. Salem Witch Museum, if you've never been to that. If you're not in the Boston location, but on the North Shore.
Nice. While you're out and about this weekend, and there's no Patriots game on Sunday, so you've got the extra time. Some sad news for all those of us who grew up on the North Shore. After 58 years in business, Route 1 Minute Golf, the home of the Orange Dinosaur, will close its doors forever at the end of the day on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, I never see people there.
Sunday is your last chance. I actually took Molly there last night.
I really hope they're going to be selling the dinosaur.
The dinosaur is going to stay. Everything else is going to go.
Really?
Yeah. I think they should move the dinosaur up next to the hilltop cactus, and then we can just have sort of like a museum.
Oh,
of,
I figured they would move it up to Linfield Market Street, because that's where they have some of the cows.
Yeah.
So basically, they can just dump all of Route 1's trash.
Yes.
On
all of the Route 1 roadside Americana will find its way up there. But, you know, look, if you grew up, if you were a kid on the North Shore, you knew this place.
Mm-hmm.
You went there with your parents when you were young. You went there with your friends when you were in high school. You probably had a few awkward first dates over there. Maybe you strapped on a helmet and hit that batting cage. We all know the place.
Mm-hmm.
It has been part of the fabric of childhood in the North Shore for 58 years. It is sad to see it go. I cannot encourage you strongly enough to go out. I think the ice cream place is already closed. Because it was closed last night, and it was closed when I drove by tonight. But the batting cages are open. The mini golf is open.